Well, this summer, we've been taking the time to focus on the one another's. We've been talking about stirring up one another, encouraging, admonishing, and protecting one another. This morning, I have the privilege of talking about serving one another. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about serving one another, I immediately think, how may I serve you? I think about Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, McDonald's, especially Burger King, because I get to have it my way. I love that place. But I think about those places because it makes me think, how do I feel when they serve me? Or if I were to work there, how would I serve other people? And how would they feel when I serve them? Well, just a few months ago, I had the privilege of experiencing something that I thought was that opened my eyes to serving others. And I was at a fast food restaurant, and I will leave the name out. I was at a fast food restaurant, and I was ordering a meal from my family, and my parents were in town, so I was ordering for them and a few other people. It was about 15 meals. And I know. My bank account was saying that, too. But I was at this restaurant, and the guy waits. You know, he says, how can I serve you? And I order my food. I'm like, can I get 15 fries, 15 sandwiches, and, you know, so on and so forth. So he hands me my fries in a bag, and he hands me my sandwiches and all that other stuff in a bag. But when it comes to the drinks, he lays all 15 of them out on the counter. And so I'm looking at my drinks, and I'm like, there's 15 drinks, two hands. 15 drinks, two hands. And I'm looking at him because I was trying to read if he was getting ready to go get me the cup holders, but he wasn't. So I said, excuse me, sir, can I get a cup holder? He doesn't acknowledge me. He just turns around, grabs the nicely folded cup holders, and just places them on the counter. And I say, I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, strange. And I said, can I get them in the cup holders? And he looks at me, and he's like, ma'am, I've done enough for you already. Oh, I know. If I had some pearls, I would clutch them right now. I was like, ooh. I immediately felt my body start to transform into something else. My clothes began to feel like they were going to rip off, and my face began to feel like it was changing, and my mom just quickly took me and just said, go. And I'm thinking, he's not doing me a favor. I paid for the service. As a matter of fact, if I wasn't paying for the food, you wouldn't have a job. I don't think this is how I'm supposed to be served. So, you know, just to put things in perspective, when I was 16, I told the Lord I was ready for my first job, and I was like, I don't want to work with people. Isn't he funny? God, what he does. I was like, I don't want to work with people, and I don't want to do customer service. God bless all of you who do, because I know I can be a difficult person when I place an order. No meat, I just want lettuce and tomato. No meat, lettuce and tomato. And I understand. So thank you for doing what you do. But I could not, at the age of 16, I was like, I can't do it. Only because I was very fearful. I just imagined people just like I was going too slow for them. They would fuss me out. They would yell at me, and I would want to yell back, but I couldn't because I wouldn't want to lose my job. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. But God has a sense of humor, and I got my first job at Food Lion. And I was terrified. I mean, you know how you're nervous and your stomach is in knots. So my stomach is in knots, and I'm starting my first day, and I'm scanning the groceries, and the customers begin to ask me about my day, and I begin to ask them about their day, and before I knew it, I was working there a long time, and they would be like, hi, Anitra. I'm like, hi, Mrs. Smith, and I would see how happy they were coming through my line, mainly because I bagged their groceries in like 60 seconds, but they were so happy, and I realized in that moment when I was looking back at that, I'm like, there is joy in serving others. It doesn't have to be like that other experience that I had, but there is joy in serving others. Now, I know that some of you may understand this joy that I'm talking about, and you experience it when you serve other people. But some of you be like, how am I going to get any joy out of doing something for somebody else? What do I get from it? And I just want you to know that this message is not to judge you whether you serve or you don't serve. This message isn't to judge you to make you feel guilty. It's to encourage you. Because we live in a world where we live to get. We work at our jobs and we do the things that we do because we want cars and we want houses and we want to go on vacation. And all those things are great, but we can't live just to get. We must live to give. We must live to give. And I love the word of God because I believe that we get to see a clear picture of what serving others looks like. Because I believe that when we focus on ourselves instead of others, when we focus on ourselves, it leads us to unhappiness and to that feeling of being unfulfilled. But when we serve others, we get to experience that joy. And I believe that the Word of God gives us a clear picture of that, of serving others and how it brings us joy. Most of us, oftentimes, we feel like when we're asked to do something or when we're to serve someone else, we feel like it costs us something, like I'm losing something, they're taking something from me. But I just want you to know that this morning, that whatever you spend, whatever you have to do, whenever you have to serve someone, God always replenishes our bank and he gives us much more than we ever had. He gives us more, much more than we ever had. So today we're going to look at a scripture and we're going to talk about how we gain something as servants. If everyone serves, everyone gets served, including the servant. If everyone serves, everyone gets served, including the servant. So if you would turn to your Bibles to Philippians 2, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8 this morning. And I will read it for you. The scripture says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on the cross." Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much that, Lord, we get to come and we get to feast from your table this morning. We thank you that, God, that you have a word for all of us. So, Father, we don't want to miss what you want to speak to us this morning. I pray that you would open our ears and our eyes to be able to see and to hear what it is that you want to say this morning. God, I pray that you are seen, that you are heard, not me, that you remove me and that, Lord, that people would see you and hear you. And we just give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we have the scripture in Philippians, and we have Paul, who is writing an encouraging letter to the Philippian church. Now, Paul is in prison at this time, but he's writing this encouraging letter to the Philippian church because he wants them to know that this is not a time for them to sit back and to relax, but he wants them to make progress. He wants them to make spiritual progress and mature. And he tells us what serving others looks like. But we also find in this scripture that we gain something, that there are benefits for the servant. So here we find what serving looks like. So we're going to focus on that for just a moment. So serving others means that we are humbling ourselves, putting the needs and interests of others before ourselves. So serving others means that we are humbling ourselves and we are putting our needs and our interests of others before ourselves. We're thinking of other people before we think of ourselves. So in this picture right here, it demonstrates for us what a true servant is. I can't tell you a better servant than that. Here we have a man who laid aside his majesty in order to serve humanity. He had every right to stay comfortably where he was in a position of power, but he humbled himself. His love drove him to a position of weakness for the sake of sinful mankind. Matthew 20:28 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus was a man who served others. He gave his life on the cross for you and for me. And what he did for us was an act of love. The greatest way that he served us was by dying on the cross for us. And the greatest way that we can serve him is sharing that same love that he gave us with those around us by serving. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I'm not Jesus. I serve people all day. I'm tired. when is somebody going to serve me? And I get that. I get life is busy and we have our own things going on. But through his example, we see that serving others does require a sacrifice. I'm sure if Jesus could have done it any other way, he most certainly would have. But he sacrificed for you and for me. And I understand that we're tired and we're busy and we got life going on. We're working and families. I get all of that. But when we serve others, it is very important that we don't do it in our own strength. We have to depend on the strength and draw from the strength of God so that God alone may be glorified. Serving others is for all of us. None of us are exempt from serving. We are all called to serve. The world teaches us that we, you know, that people are to serve us. We get Burger King. We get to have it our way. They're supposed to do things for us. But as a Christ follower, we are called to serve others. God did not save you, and he did not save me for us to sit. He saved us so that we can serve. And just as there's no such thing as a non-functioning member in your human body, so there should not be a non-functioning member in the body of Christ. If God has saved us from our sin, he has called us to serve him in some way in accordance to our gift and abilities. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As believers, we've each received a spiritual gift. God has given us a gift, and he wants us to use it to serve other people. Maybe that gift is cleaning. For some weird reason, I love to clean. But I know that that's something that God has given me, and I want to use that to be a blessing. Maybe yours is decor or to cook or to sing. I don't know what that gift is, but God has given you that gift for a reason, and he wants you to use it to be a blessing to someone else. Ever since I was the age of 3, my sister and I, we've been singing. And I remember it would be Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthday. It can just be Grace. Can you sing the Grace? And I'm like, oh. And I honestly felt like I was a machine that had a little slot, and they would just stick a coin in it. And every time they asked, I just had to get ready and be ready all the time to sing a song. And I hated it. I hated the fact that I had the gift, because I just felt like I'm just putting on a show all the time. Until one day I realized, my sister and I were singing, and I began to see what was happening in other people. And I began to see breakthrough in people's lives. I began to see how people were sensing the presence of God. And I'm like, wait a minute. God, you giving me this gift, I get to be a part of your big plan and what you're doing in the lives of people. You didn't give me this gift to sit on it. You didn't give me this gift to hoard. You gave me the gift because you want me to use it and to be a blessing to someone else. So every opportunity that I get, I try my best not to turn down an opportunity to use that gift for God. If we are called to serve, if God has given us a gift and we're called to serve, our serving should be a lifestyle. We should look for opportunities. Okay, God, how can I use this gift to serve someone else? How can I use this to be a blessing? What is my assignment for today with this gift? Because I believe that something happens when we serve others. I love illustrations because I'm a very simple person, and I believe that sometimes God uses simple things to help us see, to help us see exactly what he's talking about. So my teachers, or if your parents, or if you tutor or anything, you know what this thing is. We all had to use it. We were all in school. But I will ask my kids. I'm like, okay, kids, Malia, we'll use her for example. Go get me a pencil so I can help you with your homework. And she always brings me a pencil that is not sharpened. And it makes me so mad. I'm like, I can't do anything with this. And I toss it. Go get me a sharpened pencil. And maybe you're thinking the very thing that I was thinking, that you look at this pencil and you're like, well, what can you do with it? And you can do something with it. It can still be used for erasing. It just hasn't reached its full potential. It needs to be sharpened. It needs to be sharpened in order to be used for the purpose that it was created. And when we serve others, we allow God to sharpen us one turn at a time. We allow him to shave away more of us for more of him. And once we allow the Lord to sharpen us, he can use us for the purpose in which we were created. He can refine us, and we can grow deeper in him. But it all starts with servanthood and a desire to serve him always. Just a few weeks ago, God had to shave away a whole lot of me. And I want to share this story with you. I was, my husband and I, we officially made Chester our home, and we purchased our first home here. Yes. And I'll tell you, like I told the first service, you're stuck with me for a while because I'm not going anywhere. Because if you have purchased a home or you are getting ready to purchase a home, I speak that in Jesus' name, you understand what I'm about to say. My experience of purchasing a home was the most horrible experience that I have ever experienced in my entire 38 years of life. And yet it was a terrible experience, but it brings you such a great reward. And it wasn't because of my realtor. Thank you, Jessica. I love you. She walked with me through that process, but it was terrible. But yet at the end, it brought me such a great reward. And I was in this time, just so you know where my mind frame is at, and here I am going through this season. They're asking for 50 things, changing things all the time. I'm packing. I'm a mom. I work full time. I'm a wife. Life is going on. And the Lord put someone on my heart, and he asked me to reach out to them. Well, I knew it when he put them on my heart that I needed to reach out to them, and I knew that I needed to do it right away. And so I did, and I called, and I texted, and I called. And I text, and I called and called and text. And we would set lunch appointments. They would say they were coming, and they would call me like the day before or that day and cancel. And then I would invite them over our home for a meal. And if anybody knows me, I am a clean freak. So when I invite somebody over, I'm running crazy. Everything has to be perfect. So I'm doing all of this, and I invite them over, and they don't show up. And I'm like, okay, Lord. You don't have to tell me twice. Ray Charles can see that this person does not want to have anything to do with me. That's fine. I get it. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm done. I got boxes to pack. I have things, you know, I got kids. Fine. I feel like I was obedient in doing what you asked me to do. I look crazy by continuing to reach out to this person. And God was like, well, you're going to be a Holy Ghost stalker today because I want you to keep reaching out. I'm like, really? Really, God? Okay, so one day I was coming home from church, and I was getting ready to take my Sunday nap, and he's like, you need to reach out. I'm like, okay. So I pick up my phone, hit the contact, and I just look at it. And I'm like, one more time, Lord, really? Do you want me to do this? And he's like, yes, I want you to do this. And so he gave me everything he wanted me to say, so I typed it up in my cell phone, and I just tossed the phone because at that point, I'm like, I know they're not going to respond. And lo and behold, ding! And I pick up my phone, and I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Big, and he starts getting smaller and smaller, and I'm reading the text message, and I'm starting to feel smaller and smaller. And I realize, wait a minute, this person has been going through an awful season. And here I am, worried about myself and how I look, and yet they're going through this. And I realize the reason why God had me to continue to reach out to them. They end the text message are telling me how by me continuing to reach out, that was a reminder that God would never give up on them. And I'm like, oh. Oh. And I'm, oh, man, I felt so bad. And God, it was a growing experience for me because, one, God showed me in that moment that there are other people on the other side of your obedience. There's somebody waiting on you to be obedient. And then the other thing that he shared with me, that it's not about you. You're worried about how you look and what you have to sacrifice and what you have going on, but this wasn't about you. And so that was a growing experience for me. We all need God to sharpen us. He shaved away more of me in that moment, and that was an opportunity for me to grow. See, serving others, it just doesn't do something for the other person. It does something in you. And there are three things that I believe that happens when we serve. The first thing that I believe that happens when we serve is that we grow. Just like what just happened to me, it was a growing experience. And you remember, if we go back to that scripture in Philippians, how Paul wanted them to know, this isn't a time for you to sit and relax. This is a time for you to make spiritual progress. This is a time for you to grow. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow. And when we serve, we are growing. And when we are growing, we are reaching our potential. We're able to do and be all that God has created us to be. I can't imagine, I have four kids, and I'm telling you, if those four kids, if I had to nurse them all their life, and if I had to change those diapers and carry them in that heavy car seat and feed them every meal, I would take them to every doctor I could find to find out why they are not growing. Why they're not growing. And that's what God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. Christian maturity comes through the love and the service to others because we are becoming more like him. He wants us to grow. The second thing that happens when we serve is that when we serve, we experience the miracle. In John 2, when Jesus is at the wedding at Cana and they run out of wine, and Mary says, they run out of wine, and he's like, well, what do you want me to do? It's not my time yet. And Mary says to the servants, do whatever he says. And so the servants go. He tells them, go over there to those jars, and I want you to fill them up with water. And they do it. They go over to the jars, fill them up with water. And he says, now I want you to go to the master of the feast, and I want you to serve him from that jar. And they do that. And the Bible says when he drinks that from the jar that was water in it, and he tastes wine. And he tastes the best. He thought that was the best wine ever. He didn't know where it came from. The Bible says he had no idea where it came from, but the servants did. It was the servants who witnessed the miracle. They saw everything that was going on. The master of the feast had no idea, but it was the servants who were able to see a miracle before their eyes. And if we take a step back, and when Mary says, do whatever he says, it was their obedience. Just imagine if they didn't go over to the jars and fill them up with water, or if they didn't go to the master of the feast and serve him from that jar, they would have missed the miracle. But it was because of their obedience to serve and to be a servant that they were able to witness the miracle. Just a few weeks ago, I was at a dinner, and we were celebrating some of our girls' clubs and some of the leaders who were moving on, and they've been serving in that ministry for years. And we were celebrating them, and I asked them, I said, so tell me a story. What is your best ministry moment? And they began to tell me about their weekend getaways and how they would take the girls on like an encounter weekend, just alone time with God. And there was this one girl that they wanted to take, but they knew that she couldn't afford to go. So they decided that they would sponsor her to go on this trip. And so they knew that they were going to go to a hotel, and the hotel had a pool. So they decided, we're going to buy her all of her swimming things that she needs to be able to, you know, be able to participate, because they didn't know. So they get there, and they get to the pool, and they look at this little girl, and to see the look on her face, she had never been to a pool before. And we're talking about a girl who's probably a teenager, almost a teenager. And for you and for me, we look at that and like it's just a pool, but for her, That was something she had never been able to experience. That was a dream. And to see that God had answered just a pool prayer. They were able, yes, they had to sacrifice time with their families. They had to commit to this weekend getaway. They were obedient and even just sponsoring her to go. And because of all of that, because they made themselves available to be servants, they were able to experience the miracle. So when we serve, we get to experience an amazing miracle. The third thing that happens when we serve is when we serve, we show others who Jesus is. When we serve, we are basically being his hands and his feet. When people see us serving, they see him. And I have two stories for this. Just a few weeks ago, we had a Cornerstone guest coming to our church, and she had small kids with her at the time. And she came into our doors, and we greeted her and all that, and she took her kids to kids' church and all that. And she tells us how she made the decision to accept Jesus into her heart before hearing the sermon. Before even coming in here, she already knew that she was going to do that because of the way we served her. The way we greeted her at the door, the way we loved on her kids when they came into our ministry. We were able to show who Jesus is and his love just by smiling and doing the things we do every Sunday. The other story is a few weeks ago, I was on my way home, and I don't know, when as soon as I get in the car, I'm in mom mode. And I'm already thinking, I got to figure out what I'm having for dinner, because I know as soon as my kids hear the door open, they're going to ask, what's for dinner? And I was in that mode, and I knew I had to get home, but I knew that there was a Cornerstone family member that I needed to go visit that was in the hospital. And so I go to the hospital, and I go to the room, and I peep my head around the door, and we make eye contact, and she just begins to bawl. And I'm like, what's wrong? I didn't know. I'm like, does she not want to see me? What's wrong? And she's like, no, you don't know the day that I've had. This is the most painful day. I prayed and prayed, and I believe that God just sent you to let me know that he sees and that he loves me, and he knows what I'm going through. And I'm just looking at her, and I'm like, I know this is supposed to be for you, but it's for me. It's for me. And I spent some time with her, and I could just see how my visit, me sacrificing my time, yes, I had stuff with my family, but me sacrificing that time, I just see how God was just loving on her. And so I leave. I spend some time, but I leave, and I get in my car, and I just begin to weep because I'm like, God, this is the joy that you want people to experience when we serve others. This is what you want us to experience. There is joy in it. There's joy in it. So I just encourage you to continue to serve. If you don't serve, find ways to serve. Because when we get to share the love and grace that we've been given by serving others. If everyone serves, everyone gets served, even the servant. It's not just for them, it is for you. Just think about that. If everyone serves, everyone gets served, even you, the servant. God intended that we experience his love directly from him, but also through others, through you. We have our Sunday teams here. We have our worship team here. We have children's ministry. We have all these people serving. And we do that because we know when we serve, someone gets to know the love of Jesus. When we serve, we get to take who he is and spread him to those around us. We must serve because serving is what Jesus did. That's what he did. That was his life. He served. And serving is a form of worship. It's a way that we express our gratitude for what he's done for us. Who are you to serve this week? Don't miss an opportunity for God to allow you to grow. Don't miss an opportunity to witness an amazing miracle. And don't miss the opportunity to spread who he is and to share his love with those around you through serving. Would you bow your heads this morning? As we close, I believe that there are three types of people here this morning. The first person, I believe that you're here and you've been serving. It's your life. You've made it your lifestyle. But you're like, I'm missing that joy that you were talking about. And you're tired and you find yourself doing it in your own strength. And that's because you need to draw from the strength of God. We can't do anything without him. Or maybe you just need to know that God sees. He sees all that you're doing. And that you're making a difference in the lives of the people that you're serving. And then the second person, I believe that you're here and you know that God has given you a gift. And you're not using that gift to be a blessing to someone else. You're sitting on it. You're hoarding it. And there's somebody waiting on the other side of your obedience to use that gift to serve someone else. And the third person today, I believe you're here today and you recognize how Jesus Christ has served you. You recognize the price that was paid on the cross for you. And you want to serve him today by giving him your life. If any of those people are you, I just ask that you raise your hand where you are. We don't want to embarrass you. No one's looking. We just want to pray for you. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. I see your hands. Let me pray. God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Father, that we can do nothing without you, that it is you who equips us with everything we need to be able to do all that you've called us to do. And you've called us to serve, so you've equipped us with everything that we need to be able to do that. God, I pray that, Lord, that as people are stepping out this week and they're making themselves available servants, God, that you would help them to see the joy that is something, there's something in it for them that they benefit from serving other people. God, would you give them the strength? Would they draw strength from you and not themselves? Would they depend on you and not themselves to be able to serve and to be a blessing to other people? And God, I pray for those who are sitting on that gift. God, I just pray for open doors. I pray that, God, you would put people in their path, that, Lord, that you would just put it on their hearts, God, to just to ask you each day, what is their assignment? How can they use their talents? How can they use their gifts to serve others, God? I just pray for divine appointments today, God, and that they would, through that, God, they would experience your miracles, they would experience your growth, and have the opportunity to spread who you are to those around them. And God, I thank you for those who've made the decision today to give you their lives. God, we thank you that you sent your one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. You gave your one and only son, and he gave his life. And Father, today we choose to give you our hearts. We give you everything that we are. We thank you that, Lord, that you loved us enough that you thought we were worth it. We thank you this morning for that, Lord, that we are sinners. That is, we don't deserve that. But God, you see us and you see someone who deserves all of it. So Father, we thank you for your forgiveness this morning. We invite you into our hearts. We make you the Lord of our life. And we just ask that, Lord, as they've made this commitment to give you their lives, Lord, that they would also find ways to be a blessing and to serve and to spread your love and to spread who you are to those around us. God, we want to make you famous. So, Lord, we just ask that you are seen and that you are glorified in all that we do. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give a shout of praise for those who raised their hands this morning? Amen. 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 If you've made that decision this morning, we want to invite you to our Connection Center. We have some material for you. We want to walk with you on this journey. We do not want you to feel that you're alone. You have a family here that's here to support you. If you would stand, and if you need more prayer this morning, please come forward. I would love to pray for you this morning. But we're going to close by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Go and be a blessing this week. Have a great week.